the Business Hour with Cyril Fouillon on OFM.
We are going to reimagine remuneration in a time of COVID-19. Quite a strange concept, something that I believe we all need to deal with now at this specific time in the world's history. And we're talking to Nicole Mullins, ex-co member of the South African Reward Association. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Nicole.
Thank you very much, and welcome to your listeners as well.
So COVID-19 changed our thinking when it comes to remuneration in the workplace. How has it done so?
In many aspects, when we think about remuneration, you would typically think of it as an upward trend. In a downturning or downturned economy, you, as an organization, need to rethink where you spend your money. And this really comes down to the sustainability of the business. So sustainability is broadly defined as the ability to meet your current and future obligations. This abrupt change that has been forced onto organizations in the form of the novel coronavirus has spurred organizations to say, well, is the reward that we are paying sustainable? Not just the reward, but are the revenues that we are generating sustainable, and can we continue along this route that we are continuing? And this has focused the attention on probably the highest expense item in most organizations, which is the salaries of their employees. And naturally, this will be the first place where companies will turn to see how can we reduce these expenses. Now, remuneration typically is referred to as cash, but I think we have entered into a time where remuneration can also be seen as food hampers or assistance with transport. So it is in the ability of organizations to pivot away from only the fixed components of pay to also other forms of remuneration, which is within their means to compensate their staff for the services that they are delivering.
So you think this is not just for companies, but also for the individuals, for the employees, sort of a bit of a shift in the way we think about everything?
I definitely think so. Employees might value the compensation that they received at the end of each month a little bit more. You know, with this coronavirus, there's a lot of uncertainty that is raging amongst us. And, you know, people are wondering how are they going to pay for children's school fees? How are they potentially going to put the next meal on the table for their family? And apart from receiving the remuneration, not only in a company context, but in an individual context, there are other benefits that are available. So there's a significant shift, not only for individuals, but for companies as well. And of course, people who are different life stages within employment, specifically people who are about to embark on retirement, who's had a significant impact on the savings that they've accumulated over the last couple of years.
Definitely. So, I mean, in these difficult times, can you maybe help us understand the complexities for companies? You know, when they've got to make a decision on whether to either reduce the salary or to retrench? I mean, it's something we don't want to think of, but it has become a reality. How do they choose? How do they work it out? What's the criteria?
Yeah, so this is definitely a daily reality, and I view this as a continuum, whereas often these are the only two considerations that are made around to reduce salaries or retrench. But if we look at it as a continuum and say, well, on a spectrum of decisions that we can make, retrenchments should ideally be the last avenue. And I think in most instances for organizations, it is the last avenue. How can we work with our workforce and the people that we employ to come to a sustainable solution for the organization? It may be that 30% of the people that you are employing can stomach a 50% pay cut for 2 months, whereas other employees can only tolerate a 20% pay cut for 2 months. And there's the ability to come to these different trade-offs with staff. I think if any person is confronted with the option to choose between reduced salary versus a retrenchment, the natural conclusion that I would draw is that they would opt for reduced salary it will definitely cause pain in the short run, but the ability to keep your role within your organization bodes well for the individual, for the company, and the community at large. This is definitely not an easy discussion to have, but the faster we get to the bone and to the root cause of these discussions and have them openly in a trusted environment where psychological safety has been created, then one has the ability to move forward around these discussions. And there's no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to this.
But also better for production. And then I reckon if the people's psyche is in a better space. So also a next question that I would like to ask you, Nicole Mullins, from Exco member of the South African Rewards Association. Nicole, why is it that markets and stocks would rise when retrenchments are announced? It's a strange phenomenon. Can you maybe explain that?
So stocks typically can react in two ways. There can be positive gains or there can be negative gains. And the driver behind this is typically the reason for the retrenchments and the reason for the announcements. If it's based on reduced external market demand for their products or services, there would typically be a reduction in the share price in the short run. Where, however, there is a positive reason, for instance, creating efficiencies in the business through automation, there can be this positive return. If you think typically about investors, they are looking for returns for the investment that they make in an organization. When organizations cut operational expenses, or rather reduce operational expenses significantly, this will allow their profit to potentially increase. If profit increases, it means that there's a higher level of return on your investments. There was a photo not taken long ago where it was written in the United States, the Dow Jones reaches its highest point in the last couple of weeks or months, but at the same time, unemployment as well. And this is the dichotomy that we have versus the markets and people that supplement these markets specifically.
So the question now is, I think, as an employee personally, myself, you know, just hearing these things sort of makes me a little bit nervous, you know, because I feel so replaceable. Like, you know, as you explained, it's almost a good thing for the markets if people get retrenched. So the question is the attitude of employees. What can we do as employees to sort of work around this and to almost not feel as threatened through this?
So this is deeply rooted in each individual. Now, a positive attitude might not be able to change our external environment, but it does have the ability to change your internal point of view. When you have a positive attitude, it is easier to be driven to solutionist thinking, to try and get to an answer that benefits society, the company, your community and family, and at last, individual as a whole. So the ability to adopt a positive attitude and coupled with that, a growth mindset may allow you to think about possibilities rather than problems. Winston Churchill said that you should never waste a good crisis. And I really think that there are lessons to be learned through all of this and that there are opportunities through all of this.
Definitely.
I see street vendors pivoting their business overnight, going from selling cell phone chargers to face masks. And this is a solutionist thinking because they are driven to make a success of their circumstance.
Definitely. Nicole, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us. Our time, unfortunately, has come to an end. But I do appreciate it. And, also good luck with your Space Forward. And thank you also for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
Listening to The Sound of Your Life, that was Nicole Mullins, Exco member of the South African Reward Association.
The Business Hour with Cyril Viljoen on OFM.